Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to AOA. 2022 was a year of extremes in the ag industry as input prices surged, consumer prices surged, and of course the commodity markets were volatile the entire year long. One industry that did have a fairly phenomenal 2022 was the meat export game from the United States of America. Joining us now for a reflection on last year's action, plus a look ahead to what might be coming in 2023, is Erin Borer. She serves as the economist for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Erin, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Let's talk first about this past year. Erin, we had a phenomenal set of records in the meat export business, didn't we, from the United States?
We sure did. And that was not without headwinds, which makes it that much more impressive. But yeah, beef exports, you know, still waiting on the December stats, but assume that they were ending somewhere close to 12 billion. We won't have hit that mark quite, but $10.9 billion worth of beef exports through November, up 14%. And on the pork side, really value was also the story there, even though volume pulled back. So still nearly $7 billion worth of exports through November. And that was off 7% from the record of 2021.
Wow, incredible demand. We know that those exports added a tremendous amount of value on the finished product of those animals moving off our shores. Erin, so as the livestock industry looks ahead to this next year, they're still grappling with some of those issues from 2022, high input costs, high corn prices, of course, high energy prices, and we got to be able to grab that export business still. As you look ahead to this year, Erin, given all the currency fluctuations we've seen over the past year, have any other meat producers around the world gained the ability to come after U.S. meat exports?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, I mean, just kind of taking a step back, it looks like we'll say the headwinds are easing a bit for this year, believe it or not. And on the currency side in particular, against some of the most important importing country currencies, the U.S. dollar peaked back kind of like early November. And so we've actually seen their purchasing power recover off of those lows. And for example, the Japanese yen and the Korean won were some that got hit the hardest. And so the recovery in those consumers' purchasing power in US dollar terms has been to the tune of about 13%. And so still a historically strong dollar, but we've been moving in the right direction. And then we can't forget the Mexican peso, which is actually about 8% stronger. So an 8% advantage for those Mexican consumers buying in US dollar terms compared to a year ago. So we know how critical Mexico has been, especially on the pork side. And so that's actually been a benefit, believe it or not.
Erin, I'm glad you brought up Mexico. Earlier on today's show, we talked with Tom Haig, president of the National Corn Growers Association, about Mexico's goal to stop importing GMO corn from the United States. And I've got to imagine that would hit their livestock production sector first and hardest. Do you anticipate this deal happening from the USMEF perspective, the Mexico ban on GMO corn? And if so, how would that impact their meat industry?
Yeah, it would be devastating in a word. And Mexico's industry is really important, right? They have grown on their exports of beef and pork. And Mexico has, of course, had a labor advantage. And so they rely on our imported feed, but then they have the labor advantage to be able to produce value-added products. And think of this, especially with their pork exports to Japan. And so they're able to kind of slice, dice, prepare that product, semi-prepare it for the Japanese market. Japan doesn't have labor either. And so Japan also has a gate price, which is complicated. But the main idea is that you benefit from shipping in a higher value product. And that's been a real win for Mexico. So they've had growth in, again, kind of producing, I don't even know if I'd call it niche, but product where that can maximize the value of their industry for the international market, while also importing the feed and the meat to use in their domestic industry and for domestic consumers. So the comparative advantages within North America have been benefiting Mexico. And it's just unfathomable to think that they would take this step. And so we see, you know, the delay in implementation, and perhaps that kind of continues.
Erin, I know USMEF is plugged into the meat industry down there in Mexico. Of course, you have representatives in that industry. Has the livestock industry in Mexico pushed back on this in a big way? Have you heard?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, no doubt. Okay. They know it is not a possible, impossible to survive if it goes forward.
Okay. All right. So we will have some pressure coming from that sector as this year goes on. And Aaron, while we've got you on the line and we're talking imports, you mentioned the pork business volume dropped back this past year, even though value has accelerated. And I'm wondering, as that volume has stepped back, did some of it come in reduction in purchases from China?
Yes, exactly. So this, of course, this story started in mid-2021. And what was really impressive is that U.S. exports managed to still set another record in 21. And so we benefited from that diversification, which has been a core strategy that the industry and USMEF has had for years. And then the pullback further in 2022 really came globally from China. So just for context, China imported $6 billion less pork in 2022 compared to 2021, which is kind of hard to wrap your head around. That was 1.8 million tons less pork imported by China from all suppliers. So Europe is their biggest supplier, right there with Brazil. Brazil had been gaining share into the Chinese market. And so what happened is it hit our competitors harder than it hit us, but then you had depressed prices from our competitors, which our exporters were up against in all of the markets. So you remember how strong our pork prices were last year. And to me, that was impressive that we were able to sustain those price levels and export volumes to the degree that we did, knowing that our exporters were against cheaper product basically everywhere because of the pullback in China's imports. So it was that ripple effect across the world that we fared better, and largely due to our, you know, Latin American markets.
You know, and I'm interested in those Latin American markets. Over this past year, Aaron, we have seen the Chinese partner with the Brazilians on importing more corn out of that country. You mentioned we've seen their growth in Brazilian pork purchases accelerate. Have we heard any moves from China to aggressively expand pork or beef production in South America?
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far, but certainly China is the big market for South America, you know, across the commodities, essentially, particularly if we look at beef. And so I was a little bit nervous about China's beef demand this year when they were still under the zero COVID policy. And China is obviously the biggest beef importer in the world. They imported like $18 billion worth of beef last year, which was essentially $10 billion more than we imported here into the US. We used to be the biggest beef importer in the world. So a pretty massive sea change over the past couple of years. And so those massive imports into China, it was 15% increase in volume, came at a time when they've been under zero COVID for, you know, kind of rolling lockdowns all of last year. And then we saw that major shift in, it really kind of started in early November with dynamic COVID zero. And then in December, just let it go. And so for me, that's the really the big macro change as we look ahead to 2023, not just the weakening or kind of retrenching of the US dollar, but this China reopening. So Lunar New Year, our staff will start work again Saturday, China time, and we'll start to see the mood after the big Chinese New Year holiday. But it feels like I was expecting China's total beef imports to decrease this year, and that was going to be a momentum change globally for beef. There are inventories in freezers in China. It's going to take some time for this reopening to restaff restaurants, that type of thing. But it feels like this could be big in the coming months and be a more positive momentum change, and really where China's been for the past several years on the beef side.
Absolutely. To keep that Chinese momentum going into this new year would be phenomenal for cattle business folks looking for a market for their goods. Aaron, while we've got you on the line, I know this isn't your bailiwick necessarily, but I did see a headline this past week about a currency union in South America between the Mercosur countries, notably Argentina and Brazil. A, would something like that happen? And B, if it did, would it impact the meat game at all?
Yeah, Mike, I do not see it happening. I have dear friends in Brazil and Argentina, and I also understand the kind of challenging relationship between the countries historically, and I've seen some of those dynamics play out. So I just have a really hard time imagining this actually happening. We know Argentina's inflationary challenges, which are not new and are tremendous. So I kind of write it off at first blush. I should study it more, but it just doesn't seem feasible on the surface. And yeah, I mean, Argentina has their own, clearly their own challenges. Their government is still somewhat restricting beef exports. They were able to grow exports last year. They had some increase in slaughter last year, and that was partly drought driven, especially, you know, kind of fourth quarter. And Argentina's slaughter was up about 4% last year, and it should have been more steady. So there was, it looks like a little bit of liquidation down there, again, mostly weather related. And their exports were able to grow. China is, of course, their dominant market. And Brazil's slaughter was up about 9%. Their exports surged, again, largely to China. But they have, you know, like some currency advantage already, but different. Argentina currency situation complicated. Yes. Brazil, the real has actually been pretty steady over the past year or so, and it had devalued in prior years and had kind of found a stable trading range.
Things to watch in the year going forward, folks. We've been talking with economist Aaron Borer of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and stick around. We'll talk trade with Garrett Toy when we return.